morning. Anybody there? Hello? Hello.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Morning. Let me find myself here. Okay, page Kuf Ayin Zayin or whatever, Kuf Ayin Ches, where are we up to? Oh, I have some. Do I have yours, Dr. Aaron?
Kuf Ayin Hey, we're doing the Inayam.
Sorry?
We're doing the Inayam and Kuf Ayin Hey.
Where we are, I guess so. Kuf Ayin Hey.
Kuf Ayin Hey. I'm all good.
Yes, we are in the second, on the second column, left column, Vazei Yisbal Kedem Kol Maisa, the Kol Dibur. Before any Maisa, any Dibur, Sheyayim Rebihin, I am Maisi Dei Nekoinen Aleinu, that our work of our hand should be established. Abshib Li Amiyaz Vihin, I am Gamken HaMitzvah Pelos Lamayla B'derach Zgula, even though without saying Vihin, I am the mitzvah has the power to work, that Chazal, or the Rebbein Shlam, I should say, empowered the act to accomplish things that we have zero idea how much it's accomplishing. There's a difference. Because if you're intending it to do all these things, it's better than when you don't intend. He works more and he's awakening the upper things to work better. It's like a long rope. One end of the rope is in the hands of man on the ground. And the second end is up to the sky. When you're holding the rope, one end, he's shaking automatically the rope all the way up. Right? That happens automatically. The very fact that you're holding the rope, inevitably it's going to shake a little bit by the fact that you're holding the rope. Nobody sits there and holds the rope without any movement. It just doesn't happen. But the stronger you hold on to it, and if you consciously shake it, it shakes more up there. The more that you're mechaven and the appropriate kavanas to be mechaven, your gairim, a bigger awakening, to wake up the love of Hashem to Klal Yisrael, whatever that means. Whatever that means, people that say L'shem Yichud Kutsh Brichu Shchinte, whatever that's supposed to mean, it's Kabbalistic. That is what we mean when we say the Tefillah of Hinayim. Shechinen Hashem Ma'isi Yadayim B'Shemayim Mimal. Hashem should establish our Ma'isi Yadayim upstairs. Kilu Kavanu B'Chalav Kavanu Seruyis L'Chaven. As if we have all the proper kavanas. With tefillah is the peiros, and that tefillah of Hinayim, Hashem, please count it as if I had all the kavanas. Makes peiros. The gam b'pasuk zeh yesh rozen Elohim b'chol ois v'ois. There are big upper secrets in every letter, b'chol teva v'teva in every word. V'ayvonu lanu zayim v'shenayim v'hinayim av v'hinayim. We should say v'hinayim on the v'hinayim. That's what he's going to talk about on the other half, the next page, which we will leave in Rosh Hashanah tomorrow.
Rabbi Yitzchak?
Yes.
Was Moshe Kleiman in touch with you about pushing star 9 to start the recording yet?
Has recording started?
Okay. No, because whatever, this issue of taking out the shear.
No,
whatever.
I don't know
okay,
how to do that. When he comes back to town, he'll teach me.
Fine.
How to do
okay,
that.
Fine. Fine.
Meanwhile, I am Kish Barla Yedok Silly of Nesite. He just gave me buttons
yeah.
to push. I follow like a robot.
Next week when I'm back, we'll get more advanced.
Okay. We get more sophisticated.
Baruch Moshe, I sent you a question.
And we are in your Testament base. And we are up to right across in Tysus Arvinu. Asaba Maimer. Okay, we're explaining the Braisa. We brought this Braisa to prove Rav Papa right and Rav Eishe wrong, that Rav Shimon does not hold Ziki Tiknusa. He only holds that if the Levi is born post Shimon Zibum, he met her only as Mrs. Shimon, so he holds there's no Erev of Eishe Sochem Shlohei Belomai. Whereas if Levi is born prior to Shimon Zibum, he met her in the world as Mrs. Ruvain, then that remains Eishe Sochem Shlohei Belomai permanently. And he rejects the svara that Rav Eishe wanted to say in Rav Shimon, that as soon as Reuven dies and there's only one brother left, at that time she automatically becomes Mrs. Shimon as Ziki Kiknusa. Rav Papa rejects that, and we brought a brisa that proved it right. But because we brought that brisa, we're explaining different parts of the brisa. Like yesterday we explained, a guy wanted to make a mimer and didn't do a mimer. We asked what difference does it make what he wanted, and we explained that he did do a mimer, but he did a mimer against her will. And the chiddush of the braisa is, that's a non-mimer, right? It's a machlekes tanoim, whether mimer can be done against the woman's will. So we explained that the braisa, by saying he wanted to do it and didn't do it, meant he wanted to do it the right way, but he did it the wrong way, so it doesn't count. So now we're up to the part to explain the next part of the braisa. And the braisa puts two cases together. And Rav Shimon argues on these cases. And what we're going to try to show is, Rav Shimon is not arguing on both cases, he's only arguing on one of the two cases. That's what we're going to try to show as we bring down this piece of the Braisa. The Braisa said as follows.
So Rav Shimon agreed that if Levi is born...
Before Shimon does Yibum.
Before Shimon...
So it's Eishes Achim Shlohei Balamai.
Not like we said. Like
Rav Eishe said Ziki Kiknusa would make it be like Shimon's.
Even if he didn't do it,
you correct. We're quoting this part of the Braisa. Shimon made a mimer and then Levi was born. Or Levi was born and then Shimon made the mimer. Umeis, and he died. And this is the Rabbanan Shita, that mimer is only rabbinic. And biblically speaking, mimer made no difference. So for all practical purposes, Levi is being born before Shimon did Yibum, because Shimon either did a mimer before Levi was born or did a mimer after Levi was born, but the bottom line is he didn't do Yibum. He just did a mimer. So according to the Rabbanan, mimer is only rabbinic. So biblically, this is an Eishes Achim Shlohei Belomai. Rabbinically, right, so Reuben's wife is for sure pater. The question is, what happens to Shimon's wife? Is she a co-wife of Reuven's wife or not? Biblically, she's not. Mimer is meaningless biblically, according to the Rabbanan. But rabbinically, there's some kind of co-wife, because they instituted Mimer. So therefore, they can't say there's no mitzvah of Yibum, but they can't say you could do Yibum, because you can't do Yibum, because rabbinically, it's a co-wife. You can't ignore her completely, because biblically, she's not a co-wife. So therefore, halacha is, Rishayna Yaitzim Shemeshah Sachem Shleib Elamai. Reuven's wife, according to the Rabbanan, is always an Eishes Sachem Shleib Elamai. Vashnia, and Shimon's wife, she's not a co-wife biblically. So therefore, there's a mitzvah of Yibum. So Chaletz is Loi Mishabem. There's a mitzvah of Yibum, but we don't allow Yibum, because rabbinically, we made an Isser because of Mimer. Therefore, it's Chaletz is Loi Mishabem.
Did they have that together?
I'm sorry?
The
first wife is out because she's an Eishes Achim Shleib. The Rabbanan hold that Eishes Achim Shleib Elamai is permanent. That means the fact that Reuven and Levi didn't exist in the same world makes Reuven's wife an Erva regardless.
Right.
If Shimon's wife would be a co-wife, she would be Pater because it's Tzaras Erva. But since Shimon's wife is not a co-wife biblically, she's considered
Shimon,
a separate.
Did Shimon live with the Mimer?
No, he just made Mimer.
Mm-hmm.
No Yibum. So there's no biblical co-wife. It's a rabbinic co-wife. Enough to ban Yibum, but not enough to remove the mitzvah of Chalitza. Well, if you hold my Rabbana instituted Maimer, that creates a rabbinic marital relationship. But Kedushin. I mean, Kedushin is biblical, right? The guy walks over to a lady and says, "Have a Kedushin," and she agrees. They're married. I mean, they're not married, but they're married. Halacha is Ishis and Eishes Ish. So the Rabbanan empowered Maimer. But not, you can't ignore the biblical law. But at the same time, the Rabbanan did create some kind of co-life. So enough to not allow Yibum, but not enough to remove Chalitza. Shimon Aimer, Biyasei Chalitza Sishel Achas Mehem, Pateres Tzaras. Reb Shimon says no. You can do B or Chalitza, as Reb Shimon explains, to the second one, and Reuven's wife is out. Now, the reason is, as Reb Shimon explains, if Maimer counts, Reb Shimon holds it works biblically. And if it works biblically, that means Shimon did Maimer before Levi was born. That means he did Yibum before Levi was born. And Reb Shimon's opinion is that if Shimon would do Yibum before Levi was born, it's Levi can marry this woman. It's not Eishes Hachor Shleid by Lomai, because Levi met her as Mrs. Shimon, not as Mrs. Reuven. If Maimer doesn't work, there's no rabbinic relationship at all. Shimon's wife is a separate entity completely, so you can do Yibum or Chalitza to her. So since Reb Shimon doesn't know if Maimer works, he says, you can't do Yibum to Reuven's wife because Maimer might not work, and it's an Eishes Hachor Shleid by Lomai. But do Yibum to Shimon's wife, Monashach. Did Maimer work? Then even Reuven's wife is mutter. Did Maimer not work? Then Shimon's wife is a separate entity, and therefore you can do Yibum. That means he doesn't hold this rabbinic Maimer. Either it's biblical, and it's total, or it's nothing. It's a zero or a hundred. He doesn't agree this rabbinic Maimer that affects rabbinic relation, not biblical relation. No. It's either he did Yibum, a form of Yibum called Maimer, or he did nothing. And since we don't know, so you can live with Shimon's wife, because if Maimer counts as Yibum, so Shimon did Yibum prior to Levi's birth. And Reb Shimon's Shita is, if Shimon does Yibum before Levi's birth, he's Shimon's wife. And therefore, it's not Eishes Hachor Shleid by Lomai. And then really, you could do Yibum to either of the two, but we don't know. Maybe Maimer doesn't work at all. So then she's Reuven's wife, but Shimon's wife is a separate entity. So Biyasa Shekholitza Sheshalachas Mem Pateres Tzarasa. So the Gemara now explains that Shimon is not arguing in both cases. We had two cases before. Levi born before the Maimer, or Levi born after the Maimer. Reb Shimon is only arguing if Levi is born after the Maimer. If Levi is born before the Maimer, Reb Shimon agrees, she's Eishes Hachor Shleid by Lomai. So the Gemara, Reb Shimon Ahaykoi, which case is he going on? Ilema Anoy Le'achvach Kochas the Maimer. Are you going to tell me he's even going on the case when Levi is born prior to the Maimer? Ha'amed b'noi little b'sav yivim le'palag Reb Shimon. Didn't you say Reb Shimon doesn't argue if Levi is born before Shimon does Yibum? Didn't Reb Papa say that Reb Shimon only argued if Yibum was done before Levi was born? Ela asa b'maimer v'yach kach noil v'yach. He's only going on the case when Shimon did the Maimer before Levi was born. And, right, Chalat v'balas Maimer lo nifter tzara. If he does chalitza to Reuven's wife, that doesn't help Shimon's wife at all, because maybe Maimer doesn't work, and Shimon's wife is a separate entity. Chalat mishum dehabitzara, v'avadai u'balas Maimer suffik, because Shimon's wife is a vadai, and Reuven's wife, we don't know whether she's married to Shimon or not, because we don't know if Maimer works. V'ain suffik maitz midei vadai. And doing chalitza to Reuven's wife doesn't help Shimon's wife, because maybe Reuven's wife is not a co-wife. Maybe Maimer doesn't help. Right? So therefore, you have to do chalitza to Shimon's wife, or Yibum to Shimon's wife. And that will absolve everybody. If they're co-wives, fine. They're not co-wives. Reuven's wife doesn't need anything. And Shimon's wife got serviced. Rashi. Zok Rashi. Inem, anoil le'ach koinemimer. B'hol le'emer, Reb Shimon b'yis hashniya k'shera. You're allowed to do Yibum to Shimon's wife. But daikis mi sefer, the b'noil le'b'sayf Yibum le'polik. Didn't you say that if Levi is born prior to Shimon Zibum, Reb Shimon agrees? So Reuven's wife is an Eishes Achim Shlohei Balamai, because Levi was born prior to Shimon doing Maimer. But Duma Maimer Kani. Maybe Maimer works, Avalei Shniyah Tzara Serva. Shimon's wife becomes a real Tzara Serva. Why Maimer Teres Tzarasik? What do you mean it patters Ruvei's wife? A Mifter Bekaimer, she doesn't need anything. The Eishes Achim Shlohei Balamai. She's a typical Eishes Achim Shlohei Balamai. Ella Asaba Maimer Vakach Noeliach. Mashmina Bereisha, the Maimer Suffer Kaina, the Gamri Suffer Kaina. If Shimon tells us that Maimer is either completely Kaina or not Kaina at all, I feel it makes us, my Mahani. You can do Yibum or Chalitza to Mrs. Shimon Mamanoshech. E Maimer Ames Kinyan Kamerhu. If Shimon's Maimer was a complete Yibum, Havela Yibum will save Noelid. That means Shimon did Yibum before Levi was born. I feel like Kamaisa Chazi Livume. And then theoretically, he could be Miyabim Ruven's wife as well, because she's not Ruven's wife anymore. Levi met her as Shimon's wife. We love King and Gomeru. And if it's nothing, that's right to Sharia. He can marry Shimon's wife to love Saras Ervi. The Kenyan mixes Bemaimer less by the Rav Shimon. Rav Shimon doesn't hold partial. It's either all or nothing. And therefore, if Levi is born afterwards, Manushek, if it was all, then he could even be Miyabim Ruven's wife. If it's nothing, then he can be Miyabim Shimon's wife. It's not related to Ruben, they're not co-wives at all. Then the Braita continues and explains, Reb Shimon only argues in a case where the Yibim happened prior to Levi's birth. You should not say, the Miyatech HaLetzasa, the Kamer of Shimon Bereisha, are Noilu Dakach Asimai Menami Goy. Should not say that it's even going in the case of the Maimer being after Levi is born. Period. Shimon's wife for sure falls Levi. The Maimer Kani, if Shimon's Maimer worked before Levi was born, Tavayu Chazi, then they really could do Yibum to any one of the two, the Havile Yabum or besides Nylon. Then it would be a case that he already did Yibum, because according to Reb Shimon, if Maimer works, it's biblical. Then Shimon's wife is not a co-wife at all. Ruben's wife, we don't know. If Maimer worked, she is eligible for Yibum Chalitza. If Maimer didn't work, then she's an erva. Giving Chalitza to her would not help Shimon's wife. Because it could be Reuben's wife is an Eishes Achim Shlohei Balamai. If Maimer didn't work, Levi was born before Shimon did anything. Because Shimon did Maimer, Maimer is meaningless. So therefore, you do Yibum or Chalitza to Shimon's wife, Reuben's wife is Patim Emanoshech. If Maimer worked, she is a co-wife. And therefore, you did Chalitza or Bia to one of them, Patim the other. Because you'd only do the one. And if Maimer didn't work, she didn't need anything. She's Reuben's wife. But Shimon's wife was taken care of by doing either Bia or Chalitza. Whereas Rabbanan say Maimer makes partial wife, partial co-wife. Enough to answer Shimon's wife in Yibum because she's a co-wife, but not to remove Chalitza because she's not a biblical co-wife. Well, Reb Shimon says there's no rabbinic law here. Either it's Yibum or it's zero. Okay. Now we're going to ask, we finished explaining the Braisa, and now we move on to the next case. And the Gemara's problem is as follows. Reb Shimon makes perfect sense. If Levi is born before Shimon does anything, then Levi met Mrs. Ruvain. She's Eishes Achim Shlohei Balamai. If Levi is born after Shimon did Yibum, he never knew her as Mrs. Ruvain. She became Mrs. Shimon. Why should he be asked to her? Why should Eishes Achim Shlohei Balamai apply? Shimon did Yibum. She's now Mrs. Shimon. As far as Levi is concerned, he meets her as Mrs. Shimon. She's Shimon's wife. Why should the Isser Eishes Achim Shlohei Balamai apply to Levi? That's the Gemara's problem. Basically trying to understand Rabban. Yosef Rav Menashe Bar Zvid Kamed Rav Huna. Rav Menashe Bar Zvid was sitting in front of Rav Huna. The Yosef Akamar. My time with Reb Shimon. What's the reason of Reb Shimon who says that if you do Yibum prior, it's mutter? Something about my time with Reb Shimon, Kadama Taima. He explains himself. He found her as Mrs. Shimon. She never was Reuven's wife as far as he's concerned. Ella my time with Rabbanan. So why does Rabbanan disagree with that? Doesn't Reb Shimon make perfect sense? Eishes Rakim Shalayim by Lama would make sense if Levi is born and Meder is Mrs. Ruvain. Levi Meder is Mrs. Shimon. Why should he be affected by the fact that she was once Mrs. Ruvain? He met her as Mrs. Shimon. And for the Gemara, Amar Krav, Ulekacha Loi Leisha V'Yibma. Right, when somebody's Miyabim, he takes her as a wife, V'Yibma, and he does Yibum. Now, what the Gemara is concerned with is V'Yibma is a beautiful halacha, but once it's Ulekacha Loi Leisha, it's no longer Yibma. She's no longer Yivama. The Yibma should be, he should be Miyabim her and take her as a wife. The Kochaloi Leisha, then the Yibma? It's mashma that there's still an aspect of Yivama after Yibum is done. Before this pasuk, I would say, this lady is Yivama. Shimon marries her, she's no longer Yivama. She's Shimon's wife. The pasuk puts the verb the Yibma after the Kochaloi Leisha. Seems to indicate there's still some traces of Yivama left to her. She's not. She's Shimon's wife. She was a Yivama. She's now Shimon's wife.
But if they have a kid, it's not going to be Shimon's kid.
It is Shimon's kid, biologically. Upstairs in the Shamas, I don't know. It is Shimon's kid. He's Chayiv and Kibbutz Avim to Shimon. Inherit Shimon.
If Shimon would die, just his baby, his wife wouldn't go to
him. Of course not. He had him again. A dying Yavumim Harishainim Allah. Pasuk is indicating she's still keeping a status of Yavama, which means that she was Reuben's wife. We're not erasing history. The Yibma, she remains a Yavama. Don't make believe that she's no longer Yavama. The Pasuk puts the verb, not the verb, not a noun. But the verb could have been written beforehand. V'yibma, and then it's his wife. Doesn't say that. It says it's his wife, v'yibma. Now, it means the act of yibum, but it also is calling her a yivama post l'kachalai l'isha. By the juxtaposition, by the order of the pasuk is alluding, she still keeps traces of being a yivama, which means we still consider her Reuven's wife. And therefore, she's eishes rakim shalayim by lamai. Rashi, my time at the Rabbanah, the Asu Yibum of the Besayf Nailan. Why are they arguing Reb Shimon? Harle Amdal Zeb Bezikas Achim Shalai Balama Miyamav. She was never Eishas Achim Shalai Balama. Ulakacha Loi Leisha Miyibma. Ava Bisha Kansa, a dying Kruya Yivama. Even though he married her, she's still called the Yivama. Now, we're going to leave the rest of the Rashi after the next Gemara. Frek the Gemara. We have a Mishnah that says once he does Yibum, it's his wife. If he decides to get rid of her now, he doesn't have to do Chalitza. He just gives a get, like every other wife. And if he divorces her, he can take her back. Now, if she still has traces of Yibum, why shouldn't she need Chalitza? Let us say that the Tosik is saying she's still a Yivama, but to buy a Chalitza. Let's say that the Torah is saying you can marry her, but the Yivma, she's still a Yivama, which means if you decide to get rid of her, you have to do the same thing you would do to a Yivama. And the Mishnah says, once he does Yibum, it's a regular wife, he gives her a get like he would do to any other wife, and he can even remarry her. If we're learning that the Yibma is telling us that even after Shimon marries her, she still remains a Yavama, then if you want to get rid of her now, you should need the same process as a Yavama. She's still a Yavama. If the Torah is teaching me that when a person does Yibum, well, how do you know where to draw the line? The Torah called Yavama. I was very careful. I said she has traces of Yavama. How do you know? Maybe she's a total Yavama.
Because Leisha, he says she's your wife.
Zogta Gemara, Shaini Hasam, Dama Krav, Elokaloi Leisha. Kiva Shaloka Nasis Kishta Lechol Dabar. Because the Torah said Isha. Practi Gemara, Yahi Kachanami. Right, so then she shouldn't be authorized Asha Sagar Shalai by Lama. She's Shimon's wife. Zogta Gemara, Aksim Vayibma, Kasarachman Vayibma. Right, so we have to balance it. She's Shimon's wife, and she keeps traces of Yavama. So how do you know what to do? You decided. The Torah sent you the conflicting messages. She's Shimon's wife, but she's still a Yavama. So you decided. She's Shimon's wife, she only needs a get. But she's considered Reuven's wife, vis-a-vis Eishes Achav Shalei Balama. Well, maybe the opposite. Maybe she needs Chalitza, but she's Shimon's wife, and it's not Eishes Achav Shalei Balama. How do you know where to... You're explaining the Pasuk your way. Right? You have conflicting messages. The Torah calls her Shimon's wife, and the Torah calls her Yavama. So you decided, if she's Shimon's wife, for Hilchot Gittin and Chalitza. But she's Reuven's wife, for Eishes Achav Shalei Balama. Who told you that that's a shot in the Pasuk? I can turn it around. I can tell you, she's Shimon's wife, no longer Eishes Achav Shalei Balama. And she's considered a Yavama, and she needs Chalitza. Where do you know? How do you know how to process this? Something Gemara, Mistabra, Shadi Hatera Hatera, the Shadi Yisura Yisura. It makes sense to say that once the Torah permitted her, it's permitting her completely, like a regular wife, that she only needs to get. And what the Torah called Aser, Eishes Achav Shalei Balamai, the Torah is saying it extends. Iser extends, Heter extends.
Rabbi.
And that he can marry his brother's wife. So Shimon's marrying his brother's wife. The Torah permitted it. So it makes sense that the Torah said, all permissiveness, everything of a wife continues. Shimon's relationship to her is totally permissible. That means she's no longer Yavama vis-a-vis Shimon.
She's a get.
And he can take her back. Which if she were Yavama, he wouldn't be able to take her back. Right? He would give her a lease and she's out. She's his wife. Heter, I heter. But vis-a-vis Levi, she was usher, right? We don't know if it extends when Shimon does Yibum, but the Torah calls her Yavama. So we say, Isurim extend, Heterim extend. So, Ish, Malachalai, Isha, which is a Heter, if Levi, she was Reuven's wife, towards the brother that's born after Shimon does Yibum, the question is she still Reuven's wife or not? But that was an Isser called Eishes Achav Shalei Balama. Question is, does it extend post Shimon's Yibam? But the Torah runs for Yibma. That means the Torah wants to give her an aspect of Yibama. So we give her the aspect of Yibama to extend the Isser Eishes Achav Shalei Balama. That not only applies if Levi is born before Shimon does Yibam, even after Shimon does Yibam. But we were mater to Shimon. So we were mater to Shimon totally. So it makes sense to say that vis-a-vis Shimon, she's his wife. Vis-a-vis the new brother born, she's still a Yavama of Reuven's wife. Because we're extending Isser and we're extending Heter. That's logical. Yes?
Rabbi?
Hold a second. Somebody is asking a question here. Yes?
Yeah. Okay.
If Levi was born before Reuven died, and Reuven and Shimon both died, he does Yibum to both of his Yavamas.
No, I mean, she went from Reuven to Levi, Reuven to Shimon initially.
Well, no, then she's Shimon's wife completely. There's no Isser to extend. It's 100% Mutter.
No, but Shimon had another wife.
So fine. So now she's married to two wives. You do Yibum to one.
Even though it's kind of for one brother and one would be...
It's not for one brother. That was done already.
But he didn't have any kids.
It doesn't make a difference.
Uh-huh.
Yes, Harvey.
Are we saying that regarding Shimon, if she retains traces of Yavama, that he would, if he wanted to be rid of her, Shimon would give her chalitza after doing Yavama, after doing Yibum?
That's what we had a Havamina. Meaning like this. If the Torah wouldn't have said the word Laisha, the Torah would have said he does Yibum v'Yibma. The Torah would have been revealing to me, he does Yibum, but she always remains the Yavama. The process of breaking the relationship would require chalitza. And he would never be able to remarry her. Because she still is a Yavama, and once you give a Yavama Chalitza, you can't marry her.
Yeah, but
so even though he did Yibum, he would say that Yibum is as long as he wants to stay married to her. The minute he decides that he no longer wants her, he has to treat her like a Yavama, meaning it never becomes a non-Yavama. That would be the Havamina. She always remained.
Under what circumstances could you ever do both Yibum and Chalitza to the same person? Why
yes.
would we think that?
Why? Because the Torah says she's still a Yavama after he takes her.
But the Torah doesn't say
the Torah calls her a Yavama after he married her. Why is the Torah calling her a Yavama? She's no longer a Yavama.
I understand, but the Torah never says that the same two people can do both Yibum and Chalitza.
Because you know that once he does Yibum, she's no longer Yavama vis-a-vis him. But if the Torah
so
was not...
There might be a special situation where the only way to terminate her Yavama status after Yibum is to do Chalitza, and then she's unlocked. But until then, that's the Havamina. Uh-huh.
That's the Havamina, and he would never be able to remarry her. But
yes.
The halacha is, she only gets a get, and he could remarry her. That means we know she's no longer Yavama status. But at the same time, you're telling me that vis-a-vis Levi, who was born afterwards, she's still a Yavama of Reuben. Make up your mind. And the answer is, we have conflicting messages from the Pasuk. On one hand, the Torah says she's Shimon's wife, and on the other hand, the Torah says she's still retaining traces of Reuven. So what we say is, any Isser involved from Reuven remains, which is Eishes Achim Shleim Balamai to Levi, and any Heter to Shimon remains. She's his total wife, and no more to him is a regular wife, and doesn't have any traces of Yibum vis-a-vis him. That's what we're saying. We're splitting it up. We're saying vis-a-vis her husband, her new husband, she's a total wife. Vis-a-vis any Isurim to anybody else, like Levi, who was born afterwards, she's still considered Reuven's wife, so it's an erva to him. That's how we're balancing the two messages of the Pasuk. Okay, we're going back to the Rashi, the bottom Rashi on your Testament base, two lines to the bottom. Is the garas, yihachi tibay chalitza. Some have the girsa, which we have. This woman she needs chalitza. Lama tnan kontari ki ishtay klaima. Yihachi di isha shen isyab madai and zika rishay nalei. If you're telling me she's still considered a yavama after chalitza, after yibum, tibay chalitza, kol isha shen isyab mabos shen izel legarsha. Leitizki lama get. Get shouldn't be suffice. To megarsha beget, we learned in the Mishnah, the ain't a tzrichin chalitza. You can take her back. We don't say he did his yibum and now he's out. The mahashka take now once he does chalitza, he should become usher. We don't say that. Why? And the answer is shodi hatera. The midrash lekacha deloy tibaya chalitza. We'd rather call him Shimon, her or Shimon's wife, and not need chalitza a hatera. Hey, could the kula milta heter? We're dealing with a heter. Shimon's allowed to be miyabner. God miyabner ishazach. So why restrict Shimon once he does Yibum? He does Yibum, it's his wife. It makes sense to extend the heter. The shadi isura, the midrash yivam adayin yivumi alei, but the aspect we're still calling her yivama is a isura. Hey, could the ikitzat iser? He got the ishazach of shalei by lama. What we're saying is, vis-a-vis Shimon, she's his total wife. Makes sense. He did Yibum, it's his wife. Why should we put any restrictions on that? The Torah allowed him to marry her. It makes sense to say that the Torah allowed him to marry her, and now she's his wife. But vis-a-vis Levi, who was born later, the Torah says, she's still the Yavama. She's still Reuven's wife, even though you met her as Mrs. Shimon. That's why the Torah said, V'yibma, after Lekacha Le'isha. To inform us that Eishes Achim Shleim Balama is never removed, even though Shimon did Yibum before Levi was born. But Reb Shimon doesn't dash in this. Reb Shimon holds, the Isser goes off. The Isser goes off. Back to Gemara. Ula Reb Shimon. The Amar Hayu Abba Matzim Heter. Ula Amdu Alav Shachas Be'Isser. Okay, so now we want to ask according to Reb Shimon the following. Let's say it follows. The Gemara's Kasha is going to have an obvious answer, but the Gemara is trying to drive a point home. Reuven, trying to figure it out, yeah. Reuben and Shimon are paternal brothers. Right. Reuben and Shimon are paternal brothers. Reuben happened to have... Reuben and Shimon are paternal brothers. Reuben and Shimon are paternal brothers, but Reuben has a maternal sister. Reuben and Shimon are paternal brothers, right? And not maternal brothers. But Reuben's father, Yaakov, was married to a bunch of women. From one wife he has Reuben, from one wife he has Shimon. Right. Shimon marries Reuben's maternal sister. Again, Yaakov is married to Rachel and Leah. He has Reuben and Dinah from Leah, and he has Binyamin from Rachel. Yamin and Reuben are paternal brothers, right? But Binyamin is not related to Dinah. Well, he is, because it's Yaakov, so let's not say that. I'm sorry. Let's have a case. Leah was married to some other man and had a girl. Then, for whatever reason, she married Yaakov and had a boy named Reuben. And Yaakov had another wife and had a boy named Binyamin. So Binyamin and Dinah are not related at all. They don't share a father. They don't share a mother. Reuben shares a father with Binyamin and a mother with Dinah. Shimon and Dinah are not related at all. Because Dinah is a maternal sister to Reuben, and Shimon is a paternal brother to Shimon. So therefore, as far as Shimon and Dinah are concerned, totally not related. They don't share the same father, they don't share the same mother. Shimon marries Dinah. And then Levi is born after Shimon married Dinah. Now Levi is born from Reuben and Leah. So Levi is a brother to both Shimon from his father and to Dinah from his mother. I'm sorry. I have to get this straight how we have the case. Let's see how it works. Yeah, let's have it the other way. I'm sorry, I'm confusing everybody, but just trying to get the case straight. To see. Yaakov was married to Leah and had a son, Reuben. Yaakov was married to Rachel and had a son, Binyamin. Leah and Yaakov got divorced. Leah married another man, Yitzchak. Right? And had a daughter named Dinah. Shimon married Dinah. Now, I don't know how we're going to have this case. I'm missing how it's going to work. Let me try to get there. I'm trying to figure out this case. I usually would have a Masifta Gemara. I would have the chart in front of me.
There's a picture here in the...
Yeah, can I use the article picture? I'm sorry, just hard for me to... Okay, so he has Yaakov married Leah, who gave birth to Reuben, and then died. And Amram married Yocheved, who gave birth Miriam, and then Amram died. So Yaakov marries Yocheved, and they have a son, Shimon. So let me set it up. Yaakov is married to Leah, and they have a son, Reuben. Amram is married to Yocheved, and they have a daughter, Miriam. Totally unrelated. Reuben and Miriam have no shaykes to each other. Reuben was born from Yaakov and Leah, and Miriam was born from Amram and Yocheved. Amram died, and Yaakov married Yocheved and had a son, Shimon. who shares the same father as Reuben and the same mother as Miriam. So Shimon now has a brother and a sister. Reuben marries Miriam. Perfectly legal. Perfectly legal. Right. Now, Shimon is out of the picture because his sister is married to his brother, so he can't do Yibum ever. But Levi is born after Reuben marries Miriam. From Amram and Yecheved. Amram and Miriam. Amram and Yaakov and Yecheved. Meaning, Levi is born, and he has a brother, Reuben, and a sister, Miriam. But he's born after Reuben had married Miriam. So he doesn't meet her as his sister. He meets her as his brother's wife. That's the Gemara's question. Just like by Eishes Achim Shlahai by Lomoi, you're willing to say, don't look at her history. Look at her present status. She's Shimon's wife. Over here, Levi, who was born after Reuben does Yibum, he meets Miriam as his brother's wife. And he should be able to do Yibum to her, even though she's his sister. But she now has a new status. She's his brother's wife.
Who's his mother?
The Gemara is that even though Miriam is his sister, he should do Yibum. Because when Reuben married Miriam, and then Levi is born afterwards, he met her as Reuben's wife. He didn't meet her as his sister.
Well, he's both, no?
Well, that's the Gemara's Havamina. Correct, the Gemara Alamata. Achoytsoy me'imai, shenasa achiv me'avim. Right. V'yachakach da'iludach. Levi's paternal brother married Levi's maternal sister. And then Levi was born. So tishyabim, hayu lebo matzeh beheter. He found her as his brother's wife. Dr. Gemari, she's still his sister. She doesn't lose status of sister because she did marry his paternal brother. She's his mother's daughter, son. She's his mother's daughter. How can you say she's not his sister? So why don't you say the same thing when Reuben's wife marries Shimon, right? In a regular case of Eishes Sakhar, then Levi is born. She's still Reuben's wife. Can't deny history. Just like you don't want to look away at the fact that Miriam is Levi's sister, how can you look away at the fact that this Yevama was once married to Reuben? It's a reality. So what if Shimon was miyavim her? He still was once married to Reuben. Dr. Gemara, Hayisur the Lesle Hetera, Hayisur the Isle Hetera. A brother's wife has a heter of Yibum. That heter of Yibum removes Isurim of brother's wife. Sister never has a heter. Yibum can't change sister. Yibum can change the status of a brother's wife. She's no longer Reuben's wife, she's now Shimon's wife. Because Shimon legally is allowed to take Reuben's wife. I mean, the Torah said she's now Shimon's wife. The Torah never said that a sister's Isser goes off in any way, fashion, or form. Therefore, sister remains. Brother's wife of Reuben, since the Torah permitted Shimon to do Yibum, it said, when Shimon does Yibum, erase that part. That's what Shimon holds. Whereas Rabbanon say, you don't erase that part. Rashi. Dr. Rashi. Achayse me'imah shenasa achim me'aviv. Kaidim le'dasa shozeh. Before Levi was born. Shenayu le'zem basa nesu'a le'achim. He found her married to Reuben. T'shabim lo'i k'shiyam azeh. Don basa b'heter Yibum. He found her as Reuben's wife. Sometimes it's removed. As far as Shimon's concerned, he has a mitzvah to marry her. There's no Isser Eishes Ach. Since Eishes Ach is a removable Isser in the place of Yibum, so we say it's removed even from the brother born later. Whereas Achoyse is never removable. So we don't say since Reuben married her, the Isser Achayse goes poof. It doesn't go out the window. It remains Usser. And therefore, Levi cannot be Miyabim his sister. She is his sister. We never found sister removed. Brother's wife is the Isser that goes off sometimes. Dr. Shimon, since it went off vis-a-vis Shimon, she's no longer Reuben's wife. She's Shimon's wife. Where sister is never removed. Therefore, you can't compare the two cases. Dr. Mishnah Zayin. Okay, so till now we've been discussing Erbes. Chayvei Kritzas, Erbes. Now we're going to a different part. Klal Amru Biyavama. Kosu Iser Erba, as we said till now, any woman that is an Erba, for instance, Reuben and Shimon are married to sisters. Reuben dies without children. Reuben's wife is Shimon's wife's sister. She's an Erba. Like Haletzes, but like Misebem. There's no mitzvah of Chalibu, Yibum, or Chalitza. She's an Erba. We learned it out in the first Perek that there's no mitzvah Yibum or Chalitza by an Erba. Period. She doesn't have Yibum because she's an Erva, and whoever doesn't get Yibum doesn't get Chalitza. Isra Mitzvah, the Isra Kedusha, Chayletzas V'loi Misyabemes. Now the Mishnah is introducing a new thing. What if Reuven's wife, Reuven is married to Mamzeres? To Mamzeres. Either legally or illegally. It makes no difference. Meaning Reuven might be a Mamzer. Or he's not a mamzer, but he's married to a mamzeres illegally, but it's a valid marriage. He dies without children. He has a brother, Shimon. Shimon can't do yibum. She's a mamzeres. But he has to give chalitza. Meaning we don't say since he can't do yibum, he can't do no more chalitza. That's only by an erva. But by a lav, that's called itzer kedusha, a lav, or a kayan, married a grusha, illegally. He died without children. His brother, the kayan, has a mitzvah of yibum. But it's a lav for him to marry a grusha. So, we don't say, since he can't do yibum, he can't do chalitza. But rather we say, chalitza and no yibum, and the Gemara will say why. The Gemara will say why. Because we have a rule, no yibum, no chalitza. Here we're saying no yibum, but yes chalitza. And this is not rabbinic, this is biblical, right? She's a lav. We're saying no yibum, but yes chalitza. We were working, operating under a rule that either you can do yibum and chalitza, or neither. Unless there are banan banned yibum. But biblically it goes together. And here we're saying biblically it doesn't go together. The Gemara is going to have that problem, and the Gemara will resolve it. That's what the Gemara is going to get into. That's so far, Rashi, lechaletzes v'yishavemetz, tzaras to the koshkini, either her tzara for sure her. Isra mitzvah, mefarish leva azul. The Gemara Mishnah will explain what is an isra mitzvah and what is an isra kedusha. And I only explain isra kedusha. Isra mitzvah is a rabbinic erva. The Rabbanan asked certain relatives called shniyas l'arayas, secondary arayas. We're going to see what they are in the Gemara. So Reuven married a girl who is a shniya to Shimon. Reuven dies. Shimon cannot do Yibum because rabbinically he's not allowed to marry this woman. Reuven married a woman that is a secondary erva to Shimon. There are secondary ervas. What are they? The Gemara is going to have a whole list. I'll give you one. Let's give one. Reuven married let's see what would be a good case. Reuven married Shimon's grandfather's wife. Let me try to explain. Reuven married Shimon's mother's father's wife, who's not Shimon's grandmother. Shimon's mother's father had two wives. One of them bore him Shimon's mother, and one of them, we don't care what she had kids. And now, Reuven died. Reuven married her. He has no restriction. It's not his mother. It's not his grandfather's wife. Right? Reuven married Shimon's mother's father's wife. Everything legal. He's allowed to marry his stepmother's father's wife. Now he dies without children. This woman is falling to Shimon. Biblically, there's no restriction for Shimon marrying his mother's father's other wife. But that's an Isser Drabanan. Drabanan do not allow him to marry this woman. She's called a Shnias Larayas. What?
All the Rabbanim.
And therefore, the Rabbanim can step in and say, no Yibum, but yes Chalitza. They can't remove Chalitza. Biblically, he has to do it. But they can restrict Yibum because the Rabbanim have a right to restrict Yibum. Weiter. Achoyse Shiyu Yevemta. Choyletzes I Miss Yaveme. Now, what happens is as follows. Two sisters.
Ask a question.
Sorry?
I ask a question.
Sure, you can ask a question.
The Isser Mitzvah, in other words, the lav. So you gave the example.
No. It's a Kedusha, it's a lav. Isser Mitzvah is rabbinic.
Okay, all right, good. Okay. So Isser Kedusha. So a Kohen marries a Grusha.
Is valid.
And he dies. His brother does Chalitza?
Correct.
Because the Kedusha was Tofsin, right?
Correct.
And to say that he ever had any mitzvah of Yibum to this...
Never a mitzvah of Yibum. But he can't do it. He can't do it.
Never a mitzvah?
I don't know what you mean by never a mitzvah. He can't do Yibum. He's not allowed to marry her.
Okay, thank you.
I don't know what you're driving at.
I was wondering if it was a hypothetical question. Was there ever a Yibum issue at all? In other words, there's a Chalitza issue, but there's no Yibum issue. In other words, before you give Chalitza, you have to be Chayav Yibum.
So, I mean, you're asking the Gemara's question. What happened to the rule that any woman not eligible for Yibum doesn't need Chalitza?
Right.
That's the Gemara's Gabara's question.
Okay, I'll wait it out.
Now, Corey turned the question on its head. He said, why don't you do Yibum? It's a mitzvah saseh, and it's doi chaloi saseh.
Uh-huh.
Oh, that's the flip side to a question. You can ask the question two ways. You can ask the question, if there's no Yibum, there should be no Chalitza. Then you can ask the question, why is there no Yibum? We have a rule that a positive can push away a negative. So you have two ways of asking the question on the same halacha. The halacha says no Yibum, but yes Chalitza. Corey asked, why no Yibum? And you're asking, why yes Chalitza? And the Gemara will resolve both those issues.
Okay, thank you.
Back to the Mishnah. Achoysa shehi yevemta, choyletza shehi yevemta. What happened is, two sisters fell from two brothers. Right? Two sisters... No, I'll take that back. What happened is... Reuben and Shimon are married to sisters. One of the sisters happens to be Levi's mother-in-law. One of the sisters happens to be Levi's mother-in-law. Reuben had married, Levi had married this woman's daughter. Reuben and Shimon are married to two sisters. One of them happens to be Levi's mother-in-law. Now they both die without children. Levi has no mitzvah Yibum Chalitza to his mother-in-law. So therefore he can do Yibum or Chalitza to Reuben's wife because it's not a sister of his skuka. Usually, if two sisters follow the Yibum, you can't do Yibum to either of the two because you're marrying the sister of the woman bound to you. Right. But now, since either yes Zika, either because of Zika, or because by marrying one, you've mevatul the mitzvah Yibum of the other. You have a mitzvah Yibum to both. You can't do both, so we say do Chalitza to both. But you can't do Yibum to one because either you're marrying the sister of your skuka. We're going to do this tomorrow. We'll leave it tomorrow. Need more explanation. We'll do it tomorrow. Everybody should have a wonderful day.
For a motion?
Yes.
For a motion, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here. We're still recording.
Can you send me the links? Can you send me the links for today and yesterday?
Sure can. What happened with the one yesterday? I sent you an email.
I don't know. Just disappeared from my email list. I'm not sure why.
Yeah,
Sorry?